Dundalk Baptist Church meets at the Baptist Centre on RD Terrace. On Sunday morning, we get together at 11 a.m. for our main worship service.
On Sunday evening, we meet at 6 p.m. for Bible study.
We'd love to see you there.
Well, welcome back. As always, at this point in the show, Kevin usually brings the greetings to those who are tuning in. And since Kevin knows all the places and people far better than I do, I won't mention everybody by name as he can. But if you are tuning in, we appreciate that you are being a part of the program with us. And we hope you are enjoying the show, whether you're here in Dundalk or whether you're listening online across the world. We hope that you are enjoying the show. And we would love to hear from you. And again, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can through the Facebook page of Dundalk Baptist Church or through the contact page at dundalkbaptistchurch.org.
Joe, without being overly detailed, can you share with us, you went through a period where you had multiple surgeries and you were really laid low for a little bit, and Bill sweetly took care of you through all of that. Can you tell us how the Lord used that time of weakness for you to strengthen your marriage and what kind of changed for you guys?
Well, absolutely. I think it's important to know that I went through 4 surgeries in 2.5 years. These were elective. 3 of them were joint replacements. We went in only thinking I was going to have one. Oh, wow. And subsequent to that, it developed into a need for 2 more and then a 4th semi-related surgery. But the point is, out of that 2.5 year period of time, and mind you, I'm 68 now, so this began when I was 65. I was laid up. I had a new right ankle, so I could only have my leg propped up for 6 straight weeks and then begin to walk. And then I got a new hip, and then I got a new knee, and then I got my hand operated on. So with the lower limbs being replaced, I was pretty much still for a period of time. And the beauty of all of that is that Bill and I were together more than ever before, because I am involved in different things for the advancement of the kingdom of God upon this earth. And yet I couldn't leave the home. I was at home more. He served me without one complaint over those 2.5 years, lovingly, and just stayed by my side. It was beautiful. Of course, he went on to work, but he works a mile from our home, so he could come home frequently and be there whenever I needed him to be. And I have what you would call methodic tendencies. You know the account of Mary and Martha. Martha was a doer. She leaned toward that, and Mary was more of a beer. B-E. Well, I don't know how you would spell that, but she...
It's a Joe word.
Because I'm not saying beer, drinking beer. She was just being. And I was reminded of God's mandate for us to be still and know that He is God. So as I sat there and I would reflect more on His word, more on what was going on around me, I was able to smell the roses, so to speak, instead of rushing by in my tendencies of being busy. And then I began to think of my husband as I would look at him and see him serve me and have such a thankful heart, not just for those outwardly displays of kindness and help he was showing me, but just the man of God that he is and how he has purposed to follow Christ and to implement God's word in his life in every facet, including what being a Christian in the workforce, and all the things that drew me to him. And when I thought of him more, rather than really kind of just taking him for granted, so to speak, I felt myself being drawn closer to him, and also in a very physically intimate way. And that opened a brand new chapter in our life of physical intimacy. Now, I have taught from a book called Intimate Issues. It was revelatory for me, by Linda Pintus, P-I-N-T-U-S, and Myrna Dillow, D-I-L-L-O-W. And it's written for women, but it was revolutionary. And I would read certain chapters, and then I'd go to Bill and I'd say, "Is this you?" And he'd say, "Yeah." And I was blown away. And it just kind of started to open the door for me to becoming more intimately freer with my husband and shedding some of the baggage that I brought into my marriage, misunderstanding.
Joe, may, can I ask a question here? The picture you're presenting seems very, I don't even know what the right word is, everything all around is coming together. But do you have any words of encouragement for maybe a wife who is listening, whose husband is not a Christian, whose husband is not reciprocating in the same way that your husband did, and her, you know, she just feels that it's a hard struggle to kind of do the things you're talking about? What kind of encouraging words would you have?
The Lord tells us that in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, okay, that means in all things. Whatever it is. So in the context of your question, in that specific situation, do it as unto the Lord and not for man. So if I find that there's something that is hindering my intimacy with my husband, I am talking to the Lord, pleading with him to help me submit willingly, graciously, lovingly to my husband in the form of physical intimacy. Because that is what he says. There's no caveat in scripture that says, do not withhold except for a time of mutual agreement to pray. That's the caveat, and it's in God's word. But there's nothing after that that says, unless his feet smell, unless you've just had an argument, unless he is not a believer. No. We do this as unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, there have been times over the 44 years that we have been married that selfishly, I've just been too tired. You're raising 6 kids. I was running a business, way too much on my plate. Okay. And yet I would say, Lord, help me through your Holy Spirit. It was an other-centered prayer, wanting to walk in obedience to what the Lord is telling us to do, because he knows what's best. And lo and behold, invariably, I would be blessed. So that would be my encouragement, first and foremost. Walk in obedience to the ways of the Lord. I know that there are different scenarios where, we could go off on tangents here, but what did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Let this cup pass. He asked, let this pass, your wrath against sin that I'm about to become. Please don't let it happen, basically. But how did he end his prayer? But thy will, not mine, be done. Ultimately, he is willing and would walk in obedience to his Father's will. And there are unknown blessings that await us when we walk in the will of God.
Well, on that note, we are going to go to our third song for today, and that is Man of Sorrows by Ascend the Hill. And we'll be right back after this song.
God, who came
Welcome back. We're interviewing my good friend Joe about marriage and biblical womanhood. So, Joe, what kind of plans have you and Bill put in place to protect your marriage and to make sure that you guys are strong and together and united? What does that look like for you guys?
Well, we're always studying the Word and discussing it. And throughout the day, we have conversations about other people's marriages as well as our own. And then we just stop and pray. We are in a great habit that we've chosen to get into of trying to end conversations in prayer. We also understand the importance of hanging with strong believers, staying in fellowship with others who are not afraid to point out certain things that they see in our marriage to help sharpen us to become more like Christ, so to speak. So we have to be willing to be constructively criticized by the Word of God, instructively, if, you know, another way of saying that, because truth works. Tell me anything you want to tell me about what you see in my life and send me to Scripture, because truth works. Thus, we must apply it. And another thing that we did, as I think about this, back in January of 1986, every year my husband sets goals. It's more difficult for me to do that, but he's a wonderful goal setter. And we were sitting together setting goals for the upcoming year. And one of them was we decided to have a date night where we would select, and this is six kids at home, we would select a night one day a week where we would go out and we would be faithful to hold to that date night. So we picked a night where it wasn't busy during the week. It was either Monday or Tuesday. We would sometimes switch back and forth if we had to. And I got a babysitter who agreed to come once a week on that night, so I didn't have to try to find somebody every week. And sometimes we would go out to eat. Sometimes I would pack a meal where it wouldn't cost anything. We'd have a little picnic. We'd go for a walk. We'd pick up a movie maybe, and we'd go back home and watch a movie. But we were together for us. And even if we came back home to watch that movie and we'd come home and all the kids would rush, oh, Mommy and Daddy are here, and they'd run around our legs and give us hugs, and we'd look at them and Daddy would say, now, kids, Mommy and Daddy are still on their date night. We're going to go back in our room and we're going to love on each other. And, you know, there's a difference. When you leave the house, the little ones cry. When you say that kind of thing, they'd rather you be with them, but they know it's a good thing. Yeah. And it was a great example. And now we see all of our kids are, five of the six are married now, and we see them with date nights. The ones who have children have date nights for sure. Another thing is...
Oh, wait, can I interject right there?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
We struggled with that here. We realized, I mean, we just saw the importance. We needed time together, but we don't have family to watch the kids, and it was really difficult to get a babysitter. So we said Friday mornings. So Friday mornings, when we drop the kids off at school, then Michael and I have time together and go coffee or breakfast or running around errands. So it doesn't have to be at night, but just a time that you set aside and protect, that this is our time, nothing else coming before this, and we're spending it together.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that. I've heard from many different women about different ways. Sometimes it's the lunch hour. So there's creative ways.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that.
Just another, make it happen.
Another thing we've done to protect our marriage is that the old Joe Barron, I would badmouth my husband to my dear friend at the time, and when I'd be upset with him. And When I read Ephesians 4:29 that talks about not to let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only, you know, let it bless the person and be an encouragement to the person who hears it. And that kind of has become a mantra within our family as we would raise our children and they would argue with each other. Well, the same applies to us. And so I memorized scriptures because I had a problem with anger. And if Bill made me angry, whoo, all these ugly things would come spewing out of my mouth. And so I would memorize what David wrote in the Psalms. Oh, Lord, keep watch over my mouth, set a guard at the door of my lips. Why did he write that? He wrote that because he had the same problem I had. You know, every human being has a problem with what comes out of their mouth. It's not what we eat. It's what comes out of our mouth, Paul says. In your anger, do not sin. Okay? So it's not sinful to be angry, but while you're angry, do not sin. Right. In other words. And another thing that we chose to do, which was so important to our marriage, is that we purposed, obviously we want to obey all scripture. One scripture, do not let the sun go down on your anger. We purposed that if it seemed invariably when we were at our weakest, was late at night, and then if we got into an argument, we would stop it. Immediately, we would keep a short account. We would be quick to apologize, quick to seek forgiveness. And in all of that, we may not have had time to resolve the problem because we were so tired, but we also purposed to begin resolving the problem the next day in love and with respect. And let me tell you, that was huge for us. John MacArthur, I don't know how many know him, but he's well known in the United States as a author and preacher. And he said the difference between a believer and a non-believer when they sin is a believer deals with it when he does, keeping those short accounts. And that had a profound impact on our marriage in preserving it. And then we, probably about 35 years ago, joined a marriage group that was led by some good friends of ours who mentored us in our early years as Christians. And there was a group of about four couples to six couples is a good size, so that if a couple has to miss a particular meeting, then you've got, if you have six couples, then you've got five there. If you have four couples and one has to miss, you've got three. Three is okay, four is better. And what we would do is we chose a book on marriage that we would read together, or a book in the Bible. And more often than not, it was a marriage book. And the husbands would take turns leading the chapter, and we would read aloud together while we were together, reading on the same page at the same time, so our thoughts were fresh. Then we would have great discussions. And I remember that one thing was so revelatory to me when we were reading about what was right up there at the top of the needs for men versus the top of the needs for women. And it was physical intimacy for men and relational intimacy for women. And I thought at the time that I was married to a man who was not typical in his strong desire for physical intimacy. I just thought I was married to a guy who had a strong desire for physical intimacy. But all the men in our discussion absolutely, hands down, agreed with it. And it helped me in my understanding of how God has made men and how God has made women. And I became a better wife in understanding my husband because of that.
Well, we are almost out of time. Can I ask you one last question?
Yes.
If a woman has never thought about these things before, biblical womanhood, how to relate to her husband and be a better wife, where would you recommend she begin or start reading?
I would say first pray for direction, then seek your husband's counsel, if he's able to do that, and speak to your pastor, or go to someone whom you respect as a Christian. And then the books that were so helpful to us, Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, Love and Respect intimate issues. And as for personal growth for women, a woman after God's own heart, and lies women believe in the truth that sets them free. Those are just a handful. There's so many good resources out there today.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Heart of the Matter and taking time out of your day to be with us. So thank you so much for this. We really enjoyed it.
Oh, it was so good to talk to you again.
Same here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I want to say, if this is your first time hearing about biblical womanhood and realizing Scripture has so much to say about this, I want to encourage you to go over to the Dundalk Baptist Church website. It's dundalkbaptistchurch.org. And Michael has been doing a fabulous sermon series on biblical manhood and womanhood. All of the sermons have just been so encouraging and just giving a good groundwork to help you start thinking about these things. Sorry. I get to say it.
You're building it up really big now.
No, it was good. It was really good.
Well, we do appreciate you that have tuned in, and we hope you did enjoy the show. We are pretty much out of time, so it just remains for me to say good night.
Good night.
And we are going to leave you with a song by Sovereign Grace Music, which is called Behold Our God.
In his hand, who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to.
You can listen to Heart of the Matter here on Dundalk FM 100 each Monday evening at 7 o'clock.
Heart of the Matter is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RD Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094 or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.
This service is part funded by TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency.